From the pages of the Toronto Star, here is, ladies and gentlemen, Doug Smith. Greetings.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
We're well.
Good.
When is the last time Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment had two franchises playing as well as these two? Simultaneously.
I'm 56 years old, so at least 57 years ago?
Well, they didn't have a basketball team back then, but you'd probably be right. Yeah. Never, I don't think. Eh? Really?
No, not. Well, there was one year the Leafs and Raptors are both in a playoff.
Yeah.
And, I think the Leafs might have gone. They play in Jersey, and they might have got the conference final.
Yeah, 2002, I think, Doug.
2002, yeah. But that's, what, 12 years ago?
And I think, if memory serves me, the Raptors lost in the first round to Detroit.
Yeah, that might have been 04.
Okay.
They were in 2002 with New York, and then beat them and played Philly, and then had a year to 03, probably. Chris, like, this time 03.
What, there was, and for obvious reasons, when your best player, your star player, goes down with an injury and is going to be out for a while, it would be understandable to go, uh-oh. And yet, I never got, look, if I don't remember Vince Carter going down for an extended period of time, I'm sure it happened during his career, but if and when that happened, you know, a lot of people would say, oh God, they're in trouble now. I don't recall hearing that from Raptor people when DeRozan went down. Did you?
No, not at all, because I think they knew that they were not bulletproof, but they were deep enough to absorb 10 or 15 games. Probably not a full season or two-thirds of a season, but 10, 15, 20 games, that they're good enough and deep enough to absorb that. Plus, you look at the schedule, and it's been relatively easy still.
Yeah.
And they'll get them back when it gets hard after the trip out west. So, yeah, there wasn't that panic that they, you know, we got, mostly because this team's not built to have a best player. It's built to have a bunch of good players.
And
they were seeing that.
And quite frankly, what they've been able to do that other teams in this wearing the same jerseys over the years, they've beaten the bad teams badly. You know, and once in a while, the Raptors in previous years would, you know, be 5-6 against teams again under 500. I think they're 11-1 right now.
Yeah, that, you know, you got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and then steal games against teams that you're equal with or a little bit below, and they've taken care of business. And that's a lot of what led to last year's success. They beat the teams they should have beaten, and they're doing that. They've done that all this year, even without their leading scorer and the guy who can, in a close game, get to the free throw line and can sort of stop runs by getting a bucket or free foul shots whenever you need it.
You think Brian Colangelo's got a wry smile that Landry Fields is in the starting lineup?
I'm sure he does. And you know, Fields is limited, obviously. He can't shoot. He's not an offensive threat, but he's a smart player, and he's doing what they need him to do. And it's a great story. He's a good guy, and I'm glad he's having some success. But frankly, when Rosa comes back, he goes back to being an 11th, 12th guy.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance he gets a trade as a result of his play over the next few weeks?
I don't think so, because his contract expires. I don't think the Raptors would deal him for somebody that has a year left on his contract next year, because they want that financial flexibility. And I don't see him as a kind of rental player that a marginal team would want to use for the last 20 games of the year.
So you don't see a desire on the part of anybody else, and you don't necessarily see the Raptors being interested in moving the asset?
No, I don't think they would... They might put them together with other assets to hit a home run, but I don't think that's in their plans at all. And as a guy, just to deal him, again, you know, you want his money in the summer rather than you want the guy that's going to cost you $6.5 or $7 million next year.
Do you see a trade before this season is out?
I really don't. I think they'd rather wait. I don't think they want to trade a guy who's playing of the top 10, because then you're mixing the chemistry and you're sort of, you're subtracting to add. I think they'd rather wait till the summer and take their pick of the guy they want for a spot that they might have. You know, they've got a huge decision coming on Amir Johnson in July.
Well, I agree.
What they do with him, and that's going to be a tough one. But I think they would rather wait and add from a larger pool in the summer than take a shot at mixing with what's going really well right now.
Let's talk a little bit about these Brooklyn Nets. They're not exactly the same Brooklyn Nets that we last saw in Game 7 of the opening round last year. What are the differences?
Well, the biggest difference is they're a year older, and they might be the least athletic team in the history of professional basketball.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's a hugely bad thing, but they have no athletes. They're slow and old. And, you know, they might make the playoffs. They might sneak in that 7th, 8th spot, but they got older. I think losing Paul Pierce was a big blow because it took some leadership and the guy who could make a shot at the end of the game away from you. They're a mess, frankly, because they have pieces that nobody wants, and they're sort of locked into them, and they're not any younger or better. They were built to win last year.
Right.
And didn't.
And now what you've got is this beginning of the transition to whatever's next.
Yeah, but the transition is going to take some time because
sure.
you got to get a lot of young kids and then have to learn how to win.
Yeah, but I would assume that we're going to see a bit more of Lionel Hollins' imprint on this team next year rather than this, correct?
Yeah, and you're going to see, Billy King, the GM, make some moves in the summer to get younger and then suck it up for a year and see where they go. But right now, they're slow, unathletic. They're veterans, so they're going to win some games on their smarts. But when push comes to shove, they're going to get beat up a lot because they're going to get run out of a lot of gyms.
A year ago, these two teams were, statistically virtually identical.
Yeah.
In 11 meetings, the combined aggregate score, well, that's a double, yeah. A double positive. The aggregate score was 1,070 to 1,070.
Yeah.
The exact same number of points in the 11 games played between them. It is pretty amazing, isn't it? But I gather you don't think that we're, you know, in the beginning of this series of games this year, that these two teams are even remotely close to each other anymore?
No, I think the Raptors are light years ahead. I think they're younger, quicker. They've got that experience from the playoffs last year. And the Nets are older and not quite as good and have no young kids to be that next wave. They're going entirely opposite directions right now.
You mentioned Amir Johnson, and I wanted to ask you this question. Can you make a decision on what you want to do with him? Do you want to re-sign him? Do you want to bring him back?
I can't make that decision right now because you don't know how he's going to play the last 50 or 65 games of the year, whether he's heard 60 games, whether he's going to get hurt again. I don't know what the market's going to be for him. And that's going to be a big factor because I'm not sure teams, are you going to load up on Amir Johnson as a free agent? You're going to give him a 3-year deal at $17 million with the third year not guaranteed? Maybe you make that offer. I would be shocked if the start of next season, Amir Johnson was a starting power forward for the Raptors. I think I would bring him back at the right number as a bench guy, and I think they should. I think he's got a lot of skills in 20 minutes a night rather than 29.
Right.
Or 18 rather than 29. But it's going to be a cost thing. Like, if you pay him, the league average is probably, the mid-level acceptance is probably going to be about $6 million. So do you give him $18 million over 3 years with that third year not fully guaranteed? I can live with that. I would like to upgrade that starting spot.
Well, I was going to say, that starting spot upgrade is somebody that they already have, or they're going to have to go out and find
him? I think they're going to have to go out and find him. I don't know who it's going to be because there's a lot of stuff going to happen, I think, in January, February trades, whether guys stay with teams they're with. But I think there's an upgrade to be had at that spot. And it's going to be a huge and tough decision for Masai. Be the first really, really, really hard one he's had, whether you keep a guy who's been so serviceable and so good and it means so much to the franchise, but you know that his role has to diminish if you're going to keep going forward.
Have they got Terrence Ross under contract for one more year after this?
Yeah, but for him and Jonas, it's both they can re-up them in the summer. Those are going to be two more difficult calls, but not like you can let it go. They're not hugely necessary to do extensions for them before next Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do it, you have the opportunity to do it this summer.
And
I don't know what you do with those two either.
No, I'm trying to think about it. One of the things and that's why I ask you about the chances of them making a move, because they have these movable or moving parts potentially at the end of the season. Well, in Amir, it's not even a potential; it is a moving part. He's going to do something. And I wonder whether Masai gets ahead of those situations. Can you get ahead of the situation if you continue to play the way you are? If you demonstrate that you might be able to get to an NBA final?
Yeah, that's the big question. Is this the magical year where the one piece wins you the Eastern Conference and you've got pieces you can deal to get it? Everything that Masai's ever done has been with patience, which leads me to think he's going to let this play out, do what he has to do in the summer rather than try to hit a home run in February. Because one thing that makes this team different from a lot of the other ones in the Eastern Conference is the way the 10 guys work together. Mm-hmm. And if you disrupt that, you're not sure. You're guessing.
You don't know what you got anymore.
You're guessing, like you were guessing last year when you traded Rudy Gay.
Yep.
You didn't know. And maybe you do it again, or maybe you don't.
Well, but the team was like 6-12 at the time, right?
Yeah. It wasn't winning 67% of its games.
Right.
For sure. And I think they're good enough to challenge the Eastern Conference right now. I'm not sure they need to hit that home run.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know who might be out there and who might be available. But
yeah, we got 2 months. We got all of December and January and February to figure it out. So
right.
You don't know. But everything that Masai's ever done has taken time. He's been rather patient with it. Any kind of significant move, he waited on Gay for 15 or 18 games.
Yep.
He got Lowry done quick. He sort of waited around and picked Lou Williams up and then did James Johnson. So his time in Denver, the Carmelo stuff dragged out forever.
Yeah.
Nothing but suggest that he's the kind of guy who says, I'm going to seize this immediate moment on the off chance that it works.
Yeah. We'd be remiss in not mentioning this is the 10th anniversary of the Carter trade.
We're going to have a moment of silence tonight, I think.
Well, you have one, okay? Because I think the rest of the people will be making a lot of noise.
It's 10 years. I was talking to Ed Stefanski, who was the GM of New Jersey at the time,
yep.
And then came to work for the Raptors. I wished him happy anniversary, and he thought, it's one of the best days of my life.
Yeah, it was, and one of the worst days for Raptor fans. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
The Toronto Raptors against the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
Mm-hmm.
First time since Game 7 last year. That's Doug Smith of the Toronto Star.